Chapter 4, Informal Communication. Now, when we talk of informal communication, it is unofficial talk. When we talk of any communication in an organization, it is formal but also informal. That means we can assume 90% of the communication will be formal since it will be work related. But we will have 10% of the work which will be casual or informal. When we talk of formal and internal, that means memo. Memo is a form of communication within an organization. It's called memorandum. So for example, if Mr. Nair does not attend work regularly since last 1 month, and you realize neither has he written an email nor has he communicated to the people in the organization. In spite of making repeated calls, you realize that he has not made any attempts to interact or get in touch with you. So you ideally first discuss over the phone when you finally get a chance to talk as to what is his reason for not coming. In spite of him not giving any reason, you can send a warning memo. A warning memo does not necessarily mean threat or dismissal from service. It ideally can mean that it is important for you as an individual to be answerable to the people in the organization as to what is the reason for you not attending regularly. So emails, memos, conference calls, reports, report which is prepared by a subordinate and submitted to a person at top management. For example, if there's a decline in the sales of goods, so a report prepared by the subordinate. What is the reason for the decline in the sales of goods? What can be done? What are the recommendations that can be put forward so that you do not see a decline anymore? When you talk ideally of external, letters, instant messages, so it is planned communication. Here it is planned communication following the company's chain of command. That means vertical, you can say upward, downward, horizontal communication, and you can talk of communication within the people in the organization. Here letters, instant messages, reports, speeches, news release or press release, which is a formal method of giving the media information. So you want to launch a product, so ideally letting the public know. Advertising, websites and blog. A blog, ideally anyone can write a blog in relation to any topic, and it is freedom of expression in terms of ideas, and you could probably have people who agree with your views and follow your blog and write too. Casual communication, which is informal, email, instant message, phone calls, face-to-face, team blog. So more to do with casual conversation, general discussion, say about the economy of the country, say about the government. So various aspects. And hear from outsiders, the suppliers, customers, investors. So email, instant messages, phone calls, face-to-face conversation, customer support, blogs, right? So you get to know through the blog what the customer feels of your product. Of course, this can also go in the other direction, because today with so much of information via net, anybody can also write a lot of negative information about your product or your organization, and that ideally can backfire. Now, after studying this chapter, one should be able to understand characteristics of informal communication, significance of face-to-face communication, significance of telephone communication, listening skills which improve and make communication better, significance of written messages in communication, emails, the increasing role in communication, and tips for effective email communication. If formal communication is viewed like dressing for an important engagement, wearing a jacket and a tie, that means a lot to do with your attire. Your attire represents you. How well dressed you are will represent a lot of you, will speak whether you are suiting to the occasion or not. At a function, informal communication is like dressing casually and wearing a t-shirt and jeans. Much informal communication occurs on a person-to-person basis in a face-to-face manner without ceremony or fanfare. It is both verbal and non-verbal. Other ways to communicate in an informal manner include texting, post-it notes, emails, an informal drop-in visit to another person, or a quick and spontaneous meeting. So, say a meeting over lunch. This would be formal, but to a great extent informal too, since it is not in the office premises. Informal communication includes various methods of relaying information or messages between people. There are none of the trappings of formal messages, such as company letterhead, planned meetings, or specific introduction of guests. So we need to understand that for a formal meeting, a formal communication, you have a preset agenda, you have an objective, you have your number of participants who are fixed. For informal communication, there is no agenda, no objective, and it means that you could have random number of participants. Everyone is relaxed and casual, eager to chat about many things, as there are no compulsions to stick to a specific agenda to follow. This communication is oral, works easily for small groups. The scope of conversation may be broader than a formal presentation and includes topics that are diverse in nature, free-flowing and loose rather than scripted carefully. This format is suitable for handling day-to-day routines, answering letters, providing and obtaining advice, exchanging information. So you want to take advice on some front, you want exchange of information for certain reasons. So that is what it is in terms of informal communication. Present-day managers spend large part of their work life in face-to-face conversation with internal and external customers. We've discussed this. 55% of communication is through body language, 38% is tone of voice, and 7% by width. These encounters take form of daily staff meetings, reporting to the supervisors, a tour around the operation area under their control. So when we talk ideally of communication, when you talk of daily staff meetings, what is important? That there's communication between subordinates and top management. When we talk of reporting to the supervisor, again, it is between subordinates and top management. So the breakup is higher, body language goes 55%, which is higher. Words only 7%. Tone 38%, which is quite a bit too. Daily staff meet. In fact, many successful managers start a working day with a face-to-face meeting with the employees reporting to them. Here they exchange accounts on activities completed the previous working day, problems encountered and solved, as well as problems remaining unsolved, which would be the first item for discussion in face-to-face meet. We need to understand that if I start my day today at 9, what was unsolved yesterday should be solved today. Ideally, it is said that nothing should stay for or remain for the next day. But we need to understand sometimes there can be a backlog. So this should be done immediately the next day. The manager will solicit suggestions from members for settling these pending issues and with his own inputs agree upon a plan of action. That means when I talk of solicit suggestions, take ideas and views. It definitely makes a difference. You never know when a person would come up with a creative thought process, idea or view. Next, members will discuss issues to be handled on that day, assistance required from each other, guidance and decisions from managers regarding matters on which there is a difference of opinion. Such meetings usually end with exchange of the latest news and a cup of tea or coffee. I guess a cup of tea or coffee just makes the environment or the situation lighter. Time spent in this exercise pays well, as this meet eliminates interruptions caused by frequent visits or call to the manager. Since it's a meeting, there is no interruption via anybody else, or even maybe phone calls, because the meeting is taken at a level whereby it's only the people concerned there who are with each other and discussing. Exchanges notes and messages throughout the day and generates healthy team spirit, so essential to gain competitive advantage. That means you are ideally spending your time in a very effective and efficient manner. reporting to the boss. All the routine matters get resolved with the least expenditure of time when the boss and employee meet face to face. Yes, you don't spend time, traveling anywhere to meet the boss. It's at the same office. You ideally know that you will share details face to face and then arrive at mutually approved plan of action for implementation until the next such meeting. It is no more necessary to keep matters on hold. List of things to do is shortened. The moment you meet the person face to face, you prioritize what needs to be done, what doesn't need to be done, what can be postponed, what can be done immediately or looked into immediately. This shared responsibility saves time and stimulates quick action. It comes up with effective results. Tour of area of your operations. When the manager takes such tour, he gets a chance to get first-hand information on the activities under his responsibility. He observes that employees who are otherwise reticent open up when greeted by their boss and often bring up conflict, if any, hidden under the carpet or a suggestion or two for improvements in operations. See, with face-to-face communication also, it has that skill that if you are approachable as an individual, people will come up to you, talk to you about the conflicts, tell you what they think and feel about certain situations, how difficult it is to deal with a particular situation. All that will be discussed. In the former case, manager is in a better position to resolve the conflict as it has been reported to him or her at an early stage and before any concrete damage has taken place. In the latter case, if the suggestion is practical, it can be implemented. That means in this case, he ideally can resolve the conflict immediately, because they bring out a conflict. Why will subordinates bring out a conflict in front of you? So that hopefully you give an effective solution. And in this, ideally, what are they saying? That if the suggestion is practical, it can be implemented. That means if the subordinates are giving a few suggestions, if they feel it is worth implementing, it will be implemented immediately because they know that the results will come immediately too. Such rounds have a positive effect on general housekeeping. Employees stay alert as they expect the boss to land anytime and talk to them. The clean environment in which employees operate provides welcome boost to their productivity. So a lot to do with that fear to an extent, that anxiety that the boss will come, that worry because you want to live up to the expectations of the person at that level. Advantages of face-to-face communication. It is believed that face-to-face communication is much better than other types of communication such as letter, email, telephone calls. But it means you have to spare your precious time to reap the benefits. The advantages of face-to-face communication are immediate response. When people communicate each other in person, they get a response immediately without misunderstanding. We can't say without misunderstanding. There can be chances of misunderstanding, but they can expect immediate feedback. During the conversation, people can not only hear a response from others, but they can also see how they are feeling. The facial expressions convey the emotions and the feelings of the concerned person. People can guess what will take place next. How the conversation flows is very important for any successful talk. Freedom of expression. It is said that people carry more than 70% communication through body or non-verbal language. Face-to-face communication allows full use of such non-verbal dialogue for exchange of thoughts, suggestions, ideas. A twist of the lips, a frown on the forehead, contraction of facial muscles point out that the message is not welcomed and provides an important input to the speaker. So a lot to do with the way the facial expressions are put forward. It gives a sign whether the speaker is interested. It gives a sign whether the speaker is agreeing or convinced by your thought process. Crucial feedback is not available to the sender of a message in other forms of communication. So only when it is face to face, it makes a difference. So when we talk of face to face communication, one aspect, as we say, faster resolution of conflicts. Now, with face-to-face communication, it is necessary for business deals. In fact, it is face-to-face communication that helps in bringing about long-lasting relationships. Now, the open dialogue during face-to-face communication is conducive to conflict resolution, as the parties to the conflict can present their views, receive immediate feedback, as well as arrive at a mutually acceptable solution. Since both the parties are present, you put forward your views, you put forward the various points which you agree or disagree to, you also put forward amicable solutions which can be easily accepted by both the parties. In informal atmosphere, it is easy to withdraw from your earlier position and understanding the other side of the picture. When, of course, it is unofficial talk, it is informal, not a major discussion, not something which is linked to the objectives or goals of our organization, then of course you can probably withdraw at your convenience. This is possible because no records of conversations are maintained, and also there's no chance of deliberations being known to anyone outside the group present. Naturally, participants feel safe to open themselves. That means when you talk of open themselves, it means ability to express what you really feel, ability to ideally express and have open dialogue, ability to have the free flow of communication, ability to facilitate effective thinking, which could also mean that thinking which could be more creative too. Because then if your ideas are not accepted or acceptable, you also are aware that maybe these ideas did not go well with the concerned person. So, disadvantages of face-to-face communication. Let's take our own case. When there's face-to-face communication, what could be major disadvantages? Probably what I've said once, I cannot take those words back. I have to have the ability to keep the conversation flowing. I have to have the ability to ideally be effective if solutions are expected out of me. At the same time, I need to come up with creative ideas immediately. So it can expect, the situation can expect a person to probably be very quick and effective with his thought process, which may not always be the case with any individual. While there are several advantages to be reaped from face-to-face communication. So for example, one aspect of face-to-face communication, you resolve difficult situations, your challenges, since they're discussed in the open, they're resolved in a peaceful manner. The disadvantages here are, we must not ignore certain limitations associated with face-to-face communication. We will now discuss them. Difficult to practice. Face-to-face communication is extremely difficult to practice in large-sized organizations, particularly if their various units or departments are situated at different places. Now, what is very important for face-to-face communication? The ideas, attitude of a person are reflected in the open. But this is because you get an opportunity to meet and interact with the person. Now, if there is an organization and if there are more than 300 people who are employed there, then it gets extremely difficult to interact with people from various departments or various units. All employees are not at one location. Even those in a single location cannot offer themselves to meet at a place and time that is suitable for both the parties to the communication. Video conferencing option is available and can be adopted if expected benefits outweigh the high cost. Yes, of course, the benefit of connecting to another via video conferencing can be there, which we have discussed in the previous chapters. Now, when we talk of having all the employees at one place, getting to understand the perspectives of various employees for a particular situation, that is possible, but that requires a lot of time and effort for a situation to go in an appropriate direction. difficult to seek attention. So many times when you meet a person and engage into conversation, you find that the other person is preoccupied and not in a position to pay attention to your message. This is also a disadvantage of face-to-face communication. For example, if you're discussing something very important to you, we've often noticed what may be important to you at that juncture may not be important to the opposite person at that juncture. So what happens? It becomes difficult for the other person to ideally pay attention. The other person may be too preoccupied as to how to deal with a crisis in the organization. The other person may ideally feel worried as to what is the immediate step that can be taken since they're going to launch a product and they foresee a recession in the next few weeks. This could be because of personal reasons that do not allow the other person to concentrate on work pressures that have grabbed the focus of the other person. According to recent discussions in various organizations, it seems that today a lot of people are catching on to stress. Prime reasons could be financial crisis, personal issues or problems, which could be relationship problems or health problems. So ideally, the person is far too caught up in his or her own life. Hence, you may not get any feedback or may get incorrect feedback, and your decision-making strength is weakened because the very fact you're approaching somebody at top management to discuss how and what you feel for a particular situation, and if that person does not give you an appropriate response when you expect that, then it is a very big challenge. You may meet at some other suitable time to both. In other forms of communication, the sender as well as the receiver select time convenient to him or her to attend to the message, which assures full concentration. Live contact. When face-to-face communication is not possible for a live contact with the person who is not present, telephone conversation is the next best method. In order to make a positive impact by telephone talk, you need to pay close attention to all aspects of oral communication. I guess it has been known, or it's a known fact, that when you talk of telephonic conversation or telephone communication, what is very important? Your tone says, yes, of course, a lot. How you sound. Are you sounding cheerful? Yeah, hi, how are you doing? Or you sound very gloomy and dull. Hi, how are you? So very dull. So your tone has to be cheerful. You have to have an impact on the opposite person when you are talking. Irrespective of the opposite person sounding dull, maybe that person has had a stressful day, but you ideally have to understand that when it comes to telephonic conversations, you need to sound full of enthusiasm. You need to greet the person. You need to show that kind of warmth in terms of your tone, and you need to sound approachable. Say, for example, it's a customer care helpline number, right? So how they sound, how effective they sound. For example, if you're constantly arguing, are they really listening to you? Are they interrupting? Are they apologizing for the kind of problem you're going through? So that effectiveness has to be there. Effective telephone skills are important in business and private settings. Pleasant greetings create positive first impressions. Voices carry messages of professional and personal interest, and callers can make judgments in seconds based on individual's tone and voice inflections. Inflection, how the pitch is, high or low. Now we need to understand that when we talk ideally of face-to-face or telephone, first thing your brain will take is the tone. If it's face-to-face, then how you're talking in terms of verbal and non-verbal. If it's telephone, the brain will first capture the tone. That means, how are you sounding in terms of the tone? Just the way when a person is present in front of you, the brain is trying to process all the verbal and non-verbal cues, C-U-E-S. So, the same manner over telephone. First, intuitions are critical to initial images and perceptions a caller may have. What do you really gauge from a person's voice? Hello, Mr. So-and-so, how are you doing? So, you're firstly showing respect by calling the person Mr. You're asking the person, how are you doing? So, a lot to do with your tone, the way you greet. The importance of efficient professional phone skills should not be underestimated. In fact, there's training given for telephone conversations. You know, that means telephone etiquette, ETIQUETTE, which means your manners, how you talk, how you greet the person, how concise are your sentences, not making it complex for the other person, all those aspects. Voice and tone. Your voice is all you have got for making a telephone conversation lively and effective. Unlike face-to-face communication, you cannot use your body language to substantiate your message. Yes, when you talk of, say, telephonic conversation, with face-to-face communication, you can even probably conceal your emotions. You could probably downplay your emotions. But over the telephone, you ideally do not have that opportunity since the person is not in front of you. You have to make up for this loss by using your voice for the desired positive impact. Tone is expressiveness of the voice. Now, how would you really do this when we say to have a desired positive impact? One very important aspect for telephonic conversation. Always be prepared with what you want to put forward. What exactly do you want to say? How should you say it? That means you have to constantly be prepared, constantly be updated with information. The moment you do these two, then it seems other aspects will fall in place. A great deal of tone depends on the speaker's attitude and the state of mind. Respectful or impertinent, interested, bored, energetic, tired, sincere, false. These are the terms we use to describe the tone and the voice of the caller. Yes. Is the caller sounding enthusiastic? Is the caller sounding bored? Of course, now, if you've called somebody to give condolences, you cannot sound overtly enthusiastic. Your tone has to change. If you've called somebody to discuss his or her work, as in he's not living up to commitments in terms of work, he's not living up to deadlines, then of course your tone may again change. So a lot to do with the purpose, a lot to do with the why, and a lot to do with you being able to live up to the tone as per the situation.